Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Lawyer.
So if you're not a stupid girl, fucking stand up for yourself.
There's smoke, there's fire.
She's saying where there's smoke, there's fire. What are we gonna say? What am I gonna say? I'm gonna freak out.
I'm not engaging in this. I need you to admit this was a lie.
I don't give a shit about that.
Fucking bitch.
I win.
Ooh, you guys, The Real Housewives of New Jersey is back and it was so good. Ah, even just hearing a little portion of it back, you guys, I got chills, I got goose pimples, I am loving it. I'm so excited that these women are back in our lives. I like how Jackie said she's not engaging, just like our Queen Meredith from the Salt Lake City Housewives.
I'm done engaging on the conversation.
In 2021, the Housewives do not want to engage, and for some reason, I like it. You guys, Teresa, also, I was trying to find a clip that I could play for you guys, and I don't know if you saw this, but like the Bravo Insider, they released a large portion of the fight online, so that's where I was pulling the clip from. And they didn't censor it. So in the episode that actually aired, it was just beeping. And so I couldn't play just like a bunch of beeps. It was just like beep, 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 you know, sound like a fucking robot or something. And so I had to pull the clip from online. And even then I was trying to find a portion of it where she's not yelling the C word at Jackie. Meanwhile, Margaret's just like, oh my God, what is happening? What is going on? There's a lot happening in the other room. A lot going on, you guys. I thought this premiere was 5 stars. I have two of the cast members on the show today. We have Margaret Josephs, we have Dolores from The Real Housewives of New Jersey, and they're going to talk to me all about this whole show, this whole episode, what's to come this season. I'm super excited for you guys to hear the chat. And then after that, we'll cover The Real Housewives of Dallas. I do apologize that we will not be covering The Real Housewives of Salt Lake City reunion this week, but next week, I promise, we'll get all into the reunion for Salt Lake City. But this week, we're just covering Jersey and Dallas. As always, I try to put the timestamps in the episode description so you can skip ahead if you want. The timestamps are usually just off by a few minutes because, unfortunately, I can't account for the ads that play in the podcast episode. So that's why they're always a few minutes off. I try to get them as close as I possibly can. You guys, let's dive right into the interview with Margaret and Dolores because we have so much we need to talk about. I will say real quickly before we do, I am a little nervous about this season of The Real Housewives of New Jersey because the Jersey fans, we love this show. And people tend to, with Jersey, get into take their sides. So there's a lot of people on Teresa's side, and then there'll be people who are on Jackie's side. And they tend to argue and get very upset. I hope we can go forth this season just enjoying the show, enjoying the drama that these women are putting on for us, and all get along in some way. Of course, we all have our favorites, but I like to think that we change on a dime, right? We could change every 5 minutes. So, look, I'm very excited for this season. I think it's going to be a good one, and I hope we can all civilly have some civil discourse in terms of the season. You guys, I also want to mention that I will be on the Bitch Sesh live show Thursday, February 18th. Buy a ticket online. Just Google Bitch Sesh live show. I'll be guesting. We'll be talking all about this Housewives stuff. We'll be breaking down the Jersey episode even further, Salt Lake City, Atlanta, all of that stuff over there. So with all of that said, I'm going to play my interview with Margaret and Dolores. I hope you guys enjoy. And then as soon as we're done with that, we'll play the, we'll recap this week's Real Housewives of Dallas. Also, if you want to watch this interview, I'll put it up on the YouTube channel, which is youtube.com/Danny Pellegrino and the number one. Go subscribe, like, comment, and I'll put the episode interview up as quickly as I can over there. So please enjoy this chat. Icons, If you're anything like me, you love to spend TV commercial breaks browsing real estate listings. Now, I love watching my favorite shows and also looking up homes, especially the ones that I know that I can't afford. And my favorite app to use is Redfin. When Matt and I were looking for a home, we used the Redfin app to search for homes in the area and within our budget. The Redfin app made it super easy. Now, Redfin updates their listings every 2 minutes and sends you personalized recommendations. So finding the home that's perfect for you has never been easier. Plus, if you see something you like, you can book a tour straight from the app. And when you're ready to buy, an experienced local Redfin agent can guide you through the whole process. And if you're looking to sell, Redfin agents know how to get you the best price possible for your home. That's because they sell twice as many homes as other agents. With the listing fee as low as 1%, Redfin's fees are half of what others often charge, which means you'll have more money to put towards your next home. So Redfin made it so easy to filter out the homes that didn't meet or have the necessities I wanted. I still use it to search for homes close by and in the cities my favorite reality TV stars live. Download the Redfin app to get started. Ever since I saw Clueless, I wanted to have the most amazing wardrobe, and that includes all of the clothes inside the wardrobe closet, and that's why I'm excited to talk to you about Quince. Now, Quince has you covered with truly timeless pieces that never go out of style. You'll have them in your closet forever. Quince has all sorts of must-haves. I'm talking Mongolian cashmere crew neck sweaters from $50. I have a blue cashmere crew neck sweater I got from them that I get so many compliments on all the time. I love it. Plus iconic 100% leather jackets and versatile flow knit activewear. The best part, all Quince items are priced 50 to 80% less than similar brands. By partnering directly with top factories, Quince cuts out the cost of the middleman and passes us savings all over to us. And Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing practices, along with premium fabrics and finishes. Love that. Makes you feel good about shopping with Quince. Again, I've gotten a lot of stuff there. Just good quality pieces and a lot of different options if you're looking to upgrade your wardrobe. So indulge in the affordable luxury. Go to quince.com/iconic for free shipping on your order and 365-day returns. That's Quince, Quince.com/iconic to get free shipping and 365-day returns, quince.com/iconic. Today I have two of the New Jersey housewives. I'm so excited. Margaret Josephs, welcome back to Everything Iconic. It's so good to see you.
Thanks for having me, Danny. I'm so excited to be back.
And Dolores, we've never met before, but I'm so excited to talk to you. How are you doing?
You're so handsome, huh?
I am. Isn't he cute?
So cute, right, Marge? Look how cute.
Yes, I love him. And he was so excited to meet you.
I was very excited to meet you. You know, I'm an Italian guy. You know, I feel a connection to Jersey in a way that I don't feel at the other franchises.
Oh, I love to hear that, Marge. How cute.
I love you. I love it.
Okay, you guys, this premiere, we're going to talk about the premiere a little bit. This premiere was so good. I was on the edge of my seat. The opening 5 minutes or so was truly some of the best television of all time. And then it came back around. I loved it. Margaret, starting with you, what was going through your head during that opening 5 minutes when Teresa and Jackie are sitting down together? What was going through your mind? It was at your house.
I know. I was at my house. I was under construction. I'm wearing sweatpants. I thought that, you know, I was hoping things were going to get better. I was a nervous wreck. You could see that I was a nervous wreck. So I wasn't trying to eavesdrop. I'm like, they're big girls. Everybody could, you know, make up. And I was nervous. Truthfully, I was nervous. And I was spying and nervous. I felt like I was in high school.
could you hear all the chaos? Were you? I know we saw you sort of in the other room, but
yes,
could you hear everything?
Yes. Very loud. Very loud.
Okay, so what was your take on that conversation then between Teresa and Jackie? Did you feel like Jackie sort of went below the belt? What was your thoughts on it?
I thought initially it was going in a nice direction. I was like, it's so sweet. Jackie's saying, you know, it's pleading her case. And then it turned left and I was like, holy shit, it turned left. I heard where there's smoke, there's fire. And then I was like, and then I ran back to Lexi. I was like, she said, where there's smoke, there's fire. Where there's smoke, there's fire. So I understood, you know, I think where anybody talks about kids, it goes very rough. But I know she wasn't saying what she was saying. It's you know, we're gonna see where right, that goes. Right. But I know she didn't mean that.
I sort of took it as her just blurting something out.
Yeah, it's like just showing that saying something hurtful, people could think it's true when it's not. She didn't mean it. It's not true. We all know that's not true. And Jackie knows it's not true.
Dolores, do you think this is a situation where you could choose sides, or do you think they're both sort of in the wrong? Where do you stand on this whole thing?
Well, I know Teresa very well, and I knew how this was going to go. This was, you know, it was an emotional thing. It was a big thing that was said. Teresa didn't understand why she was upset. Teresa was wrong to say that.
Totally.
Wrong. And then Jackie said something that made her wrong. She could have stayed right for a long time through that argument. I could have thought of other things to say.
Other analogies.
There's a lot of other things that could have been said, not to escalate that. But I never had too much hope for that. Margaret had a lot of hope. Her and I
had a lot of hope.
That happened. And I've known Teresa for a long time. And I've sat with Jackie in the past on how I think she should communicate differently with Teresa. And that went nowhere. So I knew the end result, the end to this play was only going one way.
Right. Now, this season's different. You guys obviously filmed it during COVID. I believe maybe filming had just barely started and then everything kind of got shut down for a little while. How was it different working this season versus some of the other seasons?
It was different.
Go ahead, Dolores. Yeah.
No, I mean, we had a protocol. We had strict guidelines to follow. There was no room for error, because if somebody got sick you can get sick even if you're careful. This is something that can happen. But if you got sick from being careless, then a lot of people were out of a job for a few weeks. And then the whole momentum of the show was being interrupted. And on top of that, there was a lot of raw emotion. It was a hard time in this world for everyone.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Well, Oh, I'm sorry, Danny. Go ahead.
I was just going to say, in the trailer, it seems like there's all of these there's a lot of relationship drama amongst every one of the couples. And that, to me, was sort of the most relatable thing, because so many of us, when we were locked down early on, were stuck with this person. A lot of heightened emotions.
Yeah, I think it's a lot of heightened emotions with couples. I think a lot of things come to the surface. I think during a pandemic, you realize what's important in life. And I think that's what comes out. I think it's a lot of therapeutic situations, and it's natural emotions that came out in everybody. And it was raw. I do like to say this from the other franchises, not saying from the other franchises, but we're very raw and we're very real, and we cut to the chase,
right,
you know,
right.
and our men are around, you know, Dave, everybody has their feeling, and they're not afraid to speak up either.
No, we have a nice male cast that goes along with us. It's like a perk.
Right.
Yes.
I know some casts the men work on, you know, like I think Jersey, it works to have the guys around. And then some of the other ones, it's like, I don't want to see the guys, but Jersey, it works.
Yeah, they're great. And we're all very close. At the end of the day, we might argue, but we actually all do love each other. Most of us. Right.
No matter what happens, I've seen these girls on their worst and their best days. And I will take them. I always say, at the end of the day, I will sit on that couch with them more than anybody else, because we all have the same heart.
Yes.
We have disagreements, but we have the same heart.
I agree.
I mean, you guys have the same heart, but previously we did have Danielle on the show, and it seemed like both of you had some trouble with Danielle, and now she's gone. How do you feel with that situation?
Well, it's normal to have some friction with her. It's normal. That's normal, right?
Yeah. I mean, you know, maybe she has a heart. It's just black. No, I don't want to say that. To be honest, I was very close with her at one point, and she, you know what? She's not, I don't think she's a bad person. I think reality TV is not for everybody. And the people who are there now belong there.
Margaret, I'm so interested how you were able to get over your relationship with Teresa after last season, finding out that she was sort of the one who, I guess, sort of orchestrated the hair pull. How were you able to get past that?
you know, I have a bit, you know, forgiveness is about yourself, not always about the other person. To move on, harboring resentments doesn't do any good for anybody, and especially, you know, yourself. The other thing is, I know Teresa, she's thinking it was going to be like a schoolgirl thing. She doesn't think the woman's going to drag me across the floor. She's thinking, you know, Danielle's going to come behind me and do like a little hair pull. She doesn't think from like this point to like, you know, 5 minutes later, what could really happen. She doesn't think out the whole scenario when she says something. So she was so genuinely sorry. And her face, I even said to her, were you sorry that you got caught? Or were you sorry that happened? Every time she sees me, she brings it up. Literally, even to now, she's like, you know, when I think about that, I, you know, she doesn't think from point A to point B. She really had remorse, and I felt it, and I know what was in her heart. Listen, she wouldn't go do that. She wouldn't do that again. She wouldn't orchestrate a violent act like that again. Now, you know, say something else crazy. That's a whole other story.
Well, you know, there's some throwaway friends, right, Marge? And there's some that you forgive and move on with.
Yeah, and she's not a throwaway.
She's not a disposable.
No.
Do you guys watch the other franchises? Dolores, do you watch any other Housewives?
Yeah, Marge and I were watching Dallas together the other day.
What do you think of Dallas? What do you think of what's going on over there right now?
We had some fun with that, right, Marge?
I enjoyed it. We watched it. I like this Tiffany Moon. She stirs up. She's funny. She's very funny, and I enjoy her. I think they're being a little hard on DeAndra. I don't like Carrie Brittingham. I don't like what she's doing to DeAndra. I'm being my honest self. We didn't like the way Carrie was treating
her. And no one was sticking up for her. Like, she was trying to do something nice for someone. They made fun of her the whole time. It made her feel awkward. You know, that's not nice.
Right. What do you think?
You know, I feel similarly. Carrie's coming in hot with DeAndra, and I never even liked DeAndra, but now this season, we change on a dime, right? Like, every 5 minutes, I feel differently about someone.
Well, it's a different situation.
Yeah. Yeah.
I don't like that nonsense. Like, DeAndra needs someone to stand up for her. I was like, does someone stand up for this girl? Like, if Dolores and I were there, we could tell, like, Carrie, sit down.
Knock it off a little bit.
Yeah, you might look good in a bathing suit, but that means shit.
Wait a second, Marge, but we sometimes don't need somebody to step in because it goes from there to 60 and about
3. You guys are just tougher. The Jersey gals are just tougher.
We're just tougher. Yes. So our friends don't get to jump in because we've already taken care of the situation.
It's true. It's true.
Dolores, I'm so curious about your life sort of pre-Housewives because you were a corrections officer, correct? Can you tell me a little bit about life pre-Housewives? I know we saw you in those early seasons kind of popping in a little bit, but
yeah. So life pre-Housewives is before I got married, I was a corrections officer. And then I got married and I had kids and Frank said you could stay home. I was married to an attorney. He said you could stay home or you could go back to work. So I stayed home and I got my real estate license, but you know, life gets a little monotonous. And when the kids got a little older, every Thursday night, me, Dina Manzo, Caroline, Jacqueline, and Teresa Giudice would go to the Meatpacking District and dress up like Sex in the City and walk around.
Were you? Who are you? The Carrie, Samantha, Charlotte?
I was the divorced one. So, like, you know, me and Dina were like about the same. And you know,
they were the Samanthas.
I'm Samantha now, I think, maybe. I don't
I love that.
But it was fun. Maybe Carrie. I don't know. But it was fun. It was fun. And it was innocent. And, you know, life was just, and then all of a sudden the show came around.
So were there any talks of you joining in those early seasons since you were so close with all of them? Or what happened there?
I was the original cast member and it wasn't the right time for me. And I decided not to do it. And Danielle took my place.
Oh, interesting. Interesting.
Yeah. Crazy.
That's crazy to think that. Yeah. Yeah. Well, you were also such a fresh addition. Do you keep in touch with those other women who aren't on the show anymore?
I do. I speak to Caroline and Jacqueline and Ashley and the Manzo kids. Yeah.
So, okay. There was this rumor. I think Caroline had come out and said right before the season started, she had done that Super Bowl commercial with Teresa. And she had said that Bravo offered her a contract, but it wasn't the right money or something like that. And do either of you think we could see a Manzo return, either Caroline or Dina again?
Well, Dina lives in California now, so I don't think.
Yeah, but we could get her pop in, right? We could get her pop in for an episode. No.
Yeah. but it's boring.
Wait, are you guys not good anymore?
Yeah, really. She's not my, you know, no.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So, what happened there? What happened?
Caroline, you know, we just went our separate ways, I guess. Yeah.
Right.
So some people like to move on from another life and leave what's behind them for a reason, I guess, whatever that reason is. Maybe they think you know too much about them, or maybe they're not who they say they are, whatever the case is.
I need to know more. What do you know about her? What is she? Who she is? She really?
Who cares? So anyway, to everything else. So Caroline, I still speak to her. And you know, Jacqueline, on text, not text, like Instagram and things like that, but they live in Vegas now. So
yeah. I always thought Jacqueline was a really good housewife. I know her last season fans didn't necessarily like love her, but I always thought she was really good on the show.
She was.
Yeah.
She was good. Yeah.
And Caroline, I think there's still so many unanswered questions about the Manzo family drama with Dina and Caroline and everything. And so I would love to see Caroline return.
That would be something else.
I would like to see her return because then I won't be the oldest one on the show.
No.
Margaret, I've heard you say that in interviews before. And it always
I say that on the interview. No, I mean, she's smart.
No, Teresa said, bring her on. Bring her. Yeah.
I know. I want to see those two together. Now on this, you know, yeah, it might be kind of a lot. On this season, we see you guys talking about Margaret. You say you got the bubbies done. Dolores,
no implant though, just a lift.
Oh, okay. Well, Dolores, you also open up about some of your stuff, and David had gotten upset with you that you had gotten the procedures done.
Oh yeah, the procedures.
How does he feel like about it now?
Well, he had to get over it. He just had to get past it, but he took it so bad. And it was like a fight that dragged on. So, you know, stay tuned. A lot
she looked hot naked before and she looks hot naked now. So I think that's what the issue is. He's like, you look so hot before you didn't need it.
Well, you know, Marge, you talk to him probably more than me. So I don't know.
So are you and David, are you guys together now?
Yes, but stay tuned. You'll see. Okay. You'll get to learn a lot about our relationship more this year. And there's a lot about relationships. You were right when you said that, by the way.
So I'm curious with procedures, whether surgical or things like injectables and stuff like that, I'm very fascinated by all of that stuff. And I'm just curious, like, is there one thing that you look back and think like, oh, that's the one that I'm so happy that I did, or that I feel sort of the best about? Because I often think the conversation around that stuff, it always goes negative. And I'm curious, like, what's a positive experience?
Well, I mean, that's a given, my facelift.
Oh,
My jowls were, if I didn't do my facelift, I mean, I'd look like I've been picking potatoes for the list.
No, Marge.
No, you look great.
Thank God I did my facelift.
You look amazing, Margaret. Yeah.
You look amazing. Dolores, I always say, she
okay, you both look stunning, like, truly. Okay. Like,
I, knock on wood, I have no regrets, none. I love everything I did.
Me too. Right. Dolores finds the surgeons, though, Danny. I want you to know that. Every surgeon she's recommended me, I go to.
I know doctors. I, like, dated a couple, and I'm a surgical assistant by trade. Also, I used to work with Dr. Aiden. And,
you did? You worked with Dr. Aiden, like, before Housewife?
Yeah, I'm a surgical assistant.
Okay, so wait. Did you know Jennifer then?
No.
Okay.
I just knew him. I would assist him in surgery, like, I'd hand him his instrument.
What's going on with Jennifer this season? We see her in the trailer.
She didn't go to him for surgery.
She didn't go to him.
I don't mix friend stuff. Right. I went to doctor. We both went to Dr. Mark Karolak and Dr. Joseph Michaels.
Yes.
Okay. What's going on with Jennifer? What's happening with her? Do we see her falling over in the trailer?
Oh,
she falls over.
Is she drinking too much?
More than once. I mean, I don't know if it's, you know, too much for me because I don't drink. But I mean, you'll have to see that. We're not the, you know, we're not in high school.
Right. Margaret, I want to know about the book. Tell me about the book you got coming out.
Oh, Caviar Dreams, Tuna Fish Budget. I'm very happy with it. It's, you know, people are going to really, I think they're going to love it. There's a lot of things in the book that people don't know about me that I don't reveal on the show. Things my own mother and husband didn't know about me. I said writing it was like a therapy session. It's inspirational. It's very emotional. There's life lessons. It helps. I think it's going to help women in business. It made me stronger. It was cathartic. I cried most of the time that I wrote it.
and when does it come out?
It will be out April 13th, but it's on pre-sale right now. So I would hope people run and buy it.
I'm going to as soon as I hang up.
Margaret, I already pre-ordered it.
Thank you. It's juicy. It's raw and it's good. And I go deep, which I think is important.
That's the march.
That's what we want. Dolores, tell me about what we have to look forward to this season.
There's so much, Danny, there's so much raw emotion. Like I've seen fights and I've seen things happen in relationships amongst everybody that I didn't think we had it in us anymore. Like you didn't know where it came from because we went into this season with one less housewife, right? Mm-hmm. And no international trips. And you can't travel. But we showed up. When I tell you we showed up. And we were very forthright about everything that's going on in our lives, in our personal lives, in our we are just raw and honest. And we all feel the same way. We owe it to the people that watch it to be real. Like I can speak for the rest of my cast.
Yes. I was worried, you guys, because oftentimes when the cast is the same for too long, sometimes things could get stale. But I really thought it was like the best premiere that I can remember, maybe since the christening. I thought that christening episode, maybe like season two or three. I think it was three.
Danny.
So it was good.
And you're going to see something that's going to remind
you. You know what? I'm going to say
something that's going to remind me of the christening.
Yes, it's true. You're going to, something.
You are so, you're calling things out like that are like, oh my God, you're so smart.
But didn't you think, I thought we're going to have a love fest this season. I was like, I haven't been physically with these girls. I'm going to see them.
Yeah.
We're going to Evan's birthday party. I was so excited to like physically be back with everybody. And I thought it was going to be so lovey-dovey. But I think it was just the emotion of everything. I was like, wow. I came home that night. I was like, this is so fucked up. What is with everybody?
We're all like a COVID roller coaster.
Right. Who do you guys hate now? Like what? You guys are getting along. Is there anyone in the cast? Like Dolores, do you hate Melissa? Margaret, do you hate Jennifer? Like, is there anyone you're not getting along with right now?
We're all very close. We have our like family. So
yes,
like family, like an Italian family. You kill each other, right? But then you move on from it, like Margaret did with Teresa, because we are truly like a family, but it's not a boring time. And it's not like, none of it's predictable. We couldn't even predict what the season was going to be. And the things that happened, it really, we were even shocked. Like Margaret said, we were shocked.
Yes. Listen, we're always going to talk shit. Right? We're always going to talk shit about each other. If somebody, one of the other girls does something stupid on Instagram, I'm going to call Dolores. Well, it's just, that's the way we are, right? Juicy, you know, that's what we do.
Juicy Joe's Instagram is a wild ride. What's going on with his...
I'll give him credit. Juicy Joe happens to look good, though. Juicy
Joe looks good.
Teresa's catching up, though, Marge. Teresa's catching up with the latest posts.
And Teresa, I mean, you know, Teresa's having a love fest.
Yeah, it's like
my husband doesn't post those posts about me.
I mean, come on. Look at the face.
Wait, Margaret, how are you? How's your relationship going? What can you tell me about that?
Joe
and I. You guys good?
Yeah, I mean, listen, we're great. He was out snow blowing. Joe and I, in general, spend a lot of time together. Thank God he worked on the house, he would have been buried in the backyard. But yes, we're always great. We have a very intimate, close relationship. He gets me. So I think we're good. I mean, we both had COVID together. I was a nervous wreck. I was like, is the insurance paid? Only kidding. But I was we're an amazing couple. I mean, I hate to even use that word soulmate. Like I always say, my ex-husband, who I love, who I write about a lot in my book, dearly, we were an amazing family. Joe and I are an amazing couple.
You guys, I have some questions from the Everything Iconic Patreon. So Kate Olson asked, are Margaret and Joe still friends with Marty?
No. It's not like we're enemies, but we don't talk to him. We're not still friends with him now.
Right.
That's a good question, though. I'm impressed. That's a good one.
They write in good ones.
I never even asked that.
Yeah. Ariana Chapin wants to know, Dolores, if you were on any other franchise, where could you see yourself?
I have to say, I see myself nowhere else but Jersey.
Yeah, I can't picture you on anywhere else either.
I can't even think of it. I've tried because I've been asked this before, but I can't even picture it.
Right.
I'm all Jersey.
It's hard to picture anyone. Margaret, I could maybe see you a little bit on New York. I could see that.
Me on New York. Yes. I could see me on New York.
If you had a Brooklyn, maybe I'd be on.
No, I could see me on New York. I could see me reprimanding Ramona. I could see me doing a few things.
Was it you and Ramona or somebody in Ramona at BravoCon gotten like a thing? Oh, Dolores.
She was on the stage with her, but I had a fight with her in the dress when we were getting our hair done.
Right. Oh, that was funny, yeah.
Everyone has a story with Ramona.
It's a rite of passage to have a fight.
Yes, yes.
Did you guys make up? Dolores, you were on stage at BravoCon trying to make up with Ramona. Did you guys ever talk after that?
No, Dan, I wasn't trying to make up. I was just being like civil. I wasn't trying to make up. Showing her like, you know, these fans, don't shove people away if they want to take a picture. Because she did that to Frank Catania at Watch What Happens Live.
Frank Catania.
Don't hurt my friend. Don't hurt me. So she embarrassed him. Like, he went to take a picture with her and she was like, I don't know. And I was furious. I was absolutely furious. And then when I saw her, she was like, oh, okay. And then I did another appearance with her after that. And she was nice to people in front of me.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, I was expecting her to be really awful at BravoCon, and I met her on the carpet and she ended up being so nice to me. And then that was like a mind fuck because I was like, expecting
that was before or after I got
It might have been after. It might have been after. Dolores, everyone wants to know about, first of all, people are obsessed with Frank Sr. and Frank Jr. Are they dating?
My friend. So little Frankie has a very nice girlfriend.
Okay.
She's very cute and very nice. And Frankie, my son is, I guess you could call him a workaholic. He's an investment banker. He's graduating this year, but if he's not in school, he's on Wall Street already. And he's constantly studying. And that takes a certain kind of young girl to tolerate that.
Yeah.
And this girl does not give him a hard time about that. I'm very grateful for her. But the payoff in the end is little Frankie. So she's smart.
Yes.
And big Frank is... I don't know. Stay tuned.
Yeah. Well, I love it. You guys, it was such a pleasure to chat with both of you. Thank you. I think this season's going to be fantastic. And hopefully as the season gets going, you'll come back and update me on everything going on. How long? One more question, actually. I just popped in my head as I'm telling you guys goodbye.
That's a good one.
How long? Teresa's been on the show forever. Do you ever imagine a time where she sort of says, I'm done opening up my life for this show?
No, I can't imagine her saying that unless, can you, Dolores?
No. Listen, we all know what we signed up for. And
it's become her identity.
It's almost, it has. And now that she's, you know, approaching this new life, she's going to have to be forthright with it because people have followed her life along.
Yes, people expect it.
And it's up to her whether or not she wants to do it, of course, but it's almost like it's a part of her now.
You can't dial it back.
Part of her. You're either in or you're out.
Right. Yeah.
Yes.
Well, and I couldn't imagine Jersey without Teresa. It's like, so they're almost synonymous with each other at this point.
It's true. I see exactly what you're saying. It's true.
It may not be easy because it never is. This isn't an easy job. But she'll do what she has to do.
Yeah. Yes.
Well, thank you so much for taking the time. Margaret, congrats on the book. And thank you guys for opening up your lives. I'm sending love to you both.
Love to you. Thanks for having us, Danny. Thank you
guys.
She's really hurting.
No, but you know what? I'm hurting more and I already cried.
It's not a competition.
She's really hurting, and she has a lot of shit right now.
But why are you crying? Why are you crying?
Because I hate it when my friends fight. It's like when I was a little girl and I used to watch parents fight.
I love that these women are having a cry off. And every time one of them gets upset, the other one has to get upset because they want the attention of the TV. And I love that about these women. I honestly think As good as that Real Housewives of New Jersey premiere was, I really believe that Dallas is having a great season. Specifically this episode, everything about it I thought was just so funny. I mean, that whole fight when they were all just trying to outcry each other. And then Tiffany was like, why? They all asked, like, why are you crying? What the fuck is going on, Tiff? And she's like, you know, just cause. I know she mentioned her parents, but I really feel like it was just like, oh, I need to have my moment. And then what I love about stuff like that is, you know, the other women. Because we had DeAndra, who cried and walked off. Then we had Carrie, who sings. She's more upset than DeAndra. Then we have Tiffany crying. And you know, Brandy and Stephanie and Cameron are all just sitting there thinking, okay, I need to have my moment now. So you can see the wheels turning in their head, thinking like, I either need to cry or storm off. But then they're thinking about it, and they're like, well, DeAndra already stormed off. Now we're having two women who are already crying. So they can't cry. They can't storm off. So they're like, what do I do? What do I do to grab the attention? Ugh, I loved it. I loved it. Also, this trip where they went looked beautiful. I thought, I want to go there. I'm dying for vacation. You know, I'd love to get out of this place, Los Angeles. I want to go anywhere. And seeing this gorgeous estate that they filmed at, truly just fantastic. I wanted to go there. I want to mention that we didn't get the Jennifer woman who's been in a lot of the scenes, but we haven't really gotten any information about her. She seems to be around all the group events. And then now she's not on the group vacation. And I know there's some theories of what happened to her. The husband didn't want to film, or there's all sorts of different things. I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I do think it's interesting that she's not on the trip. And I wonder the details of what happened. I want to know what happened to her. I also want to mention that I was supposed to have one of the Dallas Housewives on the podcast today. So the recap might be a little shortened because I thought we would have someone on. Unfortunately, there's some severe weather over in Dallas. My heart goes out to everyone over in Texas. I know there's a lot going on there. So I just want to say that off the top because I feel for all of you guys. And hopefully in the next few weeks, we'll be able to reschedule that guest. But for now, let's dive in. You guys, we open with everyone getting ready for this trip. So there was a lot happening. They were going on a rock tour bus, so they all decided to dress like a rocker. Now, Brandy dresses Elvis, and she's doing a lot of prop work. Brandy always does a lot of prop work, right? She thinks she's Carrot Top with that Captain Dick blow-up doll that she got that she said looks like her husband, Brian. That's all I'll say about that. Now, DeAndra, she brought a lot of stuff, and it made me laugh that she said she has a fear of not having enough stuff from childhood. Which, I never heard that fear before. She always feared she's not going to have enough stuff. That's what she said. But so they get on this rock tour bus. They're wearing some bedazzled shirts. They all got the heels on. They're trying to look their best like rockers. Now, the only one who has some experience with rocker tour buses is DeAndra, who reveals that she dated quite a bit of guys who were in the rock arena. Now, she names them all, and it was so hysterical watching the other women's faces because they thought she was going to say, Mick Jagger or Bruce Springsteen or something. You know, like these women, they were expecting these names that they know. And then DeAndra's just like, you know, she said, I dated someone from Candlebox. And they're like, who the fuck is Candlebox? You know, Cameron has never heard of Candlebox. Stephanie Holman has not once heard of the Cult. I don't believe that to be true. I'm sorry, I don't believe it to be true. But DeAndra apparently dated someone from The Who. Then she said she was on Chris Cornell's tour bus. Then she just says the guys from Candlebox. So again, we don't even know exactly what happened with the guys from Candlebox. We just know that DeAndra had some interaction with the guys from Candlebox. She doesn't say I was on their bus. She doesn't say I dated their guitarist. She just says the guys from Candlebox. Then she says the Cult. And she says, and the rest I don't remember because I was fucked up. And that's respectable. You know, I'm liking DeAndra more and more this season. I don't know what happened, but I've turned a corner with DeAndra. And now I like her. I do miss Mama D. I'm like, where's Mama D? We haven't gotten her. What's her reaction to DeAndra dating The Who? What's going on there? Does Mama D like Candlebox? I need answers. So, you know, I'm really enjoying it. But, you know, I think DeAndra probably had a list of more men from these rock groups that she might have hooked up with or dated or went on their buses. But I think at a certain point she realized, like, none of these women know who Candlebox are. So I'm not going to continue on. And by the way, I just like to say that I don't know Candlebox either. I don't know who the fuck they are. No idea. So excuse me, I'm mostly listening to Ashley Simpson's debut album. I'm not quite going to, you know, the Candlebox section of the record store. They still have record store? Unclear. Anyway, on the bus, too, on this tour bus, Cameron's the one who's got the itinerary.
And if Brandy thinks she's Carrot Top, Cameron thinks she's Elle Woods, you know, the Reese Witherspoon Legally Blonde character, because she's now spraying her signature scent on the itinerary. And look, I love Cameron when she acts like this. I love when she leans into that persona. But I don't need her lifting everything exactly off Elle Woods. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, I'm okay that she loves pink. I think that's, like, something unique to her. She likes pink. Yes, Elle Woods likes pink, but, you know, I feel like it's a pretty broad, generic thing. But when she's spraying the itineraries, just like Elle Woods sprayed her resume in Legally Blonde, that to me is just, we're just stealing now. We're just stealing the plots of Legally Blonde. And at what point is enough enough? At what point is enough enough? She's just bamboozling us into thinking that she's Legally Blonde. And again, I like some of the qualities. I just don't need her to lean in so much. You see what I'm saying? Also on the bus, we have Carrie, who's going hard with the tequila. She's just pouring it down people's throats, and I wouldn't like that. I know we talked to Tiffany Moon, has mentioned to Carrie, like, I don't want to do this shot, like, don't pour it down my throat. And now we're getting to the point in the season where Tiffany's just taking the bottle to the throat because she's like, I don't even want to have to deal with Carrie yelling at me. But Carrie, going around on the bus, this poor bus driver has these women in the back with a blow-up doll, and one of them's dressed as fucking Elvis, pouring tequila down each other's throats. I felt bad for that man. He's the real hero of this episode. But I would not like it. I don't want anyone pressuring me into drinking at all. If I want to have a cocktail, I have a cocktail. I don't want anyone trying to say, you have to have a shot with me, or you got to do this or that. I'm not into that ever. Always hated that. What else? Oh, on the bus, they talk about sex. Stephanie says she likes doggy style because she likes to take it from the behind. Stephanie loves to talk about butt sex. In this show, I've defended it before because this show often goes into that, like, poop humor, sex humor. You know, they love talking about doggy style and taking up the butt. And as a gay man, I appreciate that on some level. But at a certain point, we have to say, Stephanie, enough. We don't need to hear you taking it from behind or taking up the ass every episode. I feel like, is it every episode or is that just me? Am I making that up? I feel like every single confessional, she's like, yeah, Travis likes to give it to me from behind. Or, you know, something like along those lines. And I'm like, okay, Stephanie, we get it. Travis likes to give it to you up the butt. Like, I don't need all of that. It's just a little bit too much, you know, enough.
Peggy, you can't do it! I can't. You are stressing me to hell. I'm done.
I'm done, Stephanie. And Cameron, in regards to the sex, she likes sex with her legs up because they're long. And that made me laugh because Cameron obviously didn't want to talk about the sex. She was trying to move along the conversation. You know, Stephanie's like, I like it up the butt. And then Cameron's like, oh, so how's the weather? And they're all like, Cameron, you didn't talk about how you like the sex. And then so Cameron's sitting there thinking in her head, she knows the camera's on her. She knows the kids are going to see this. The husband's going to see it. She's very embarrassed, but she still has to answer. So finally she just says, I like it with my legs up because they're long. And they all just accept that as an answer. They all just say, okay, that makes sense. Your legs are long. Got it. Then, okay, so they arrive at this resort. It's all apparently for Carrie's birthday trip. And how long is her fucking birthday? How long are we going to be celebrating Carrie's birthday? Enough. I'm sorry, I know I keep saying Taylor Armstrong enough this whole podcast episode, but it's like, Carrie, you can't celebrate your birthday that much. It's over. Your birthday ended. We did the piñata at one party. We had the other party with the poor waiters with their tops off, not wearing blouses, and had to wear very little PPE. You know, we already celebrated your birthday, Carrie. Isn't it anyone else's birthday? Can't we celebrate anyone else's? They get to this resort, though, and it's so funny. Like in the movie The Holiday, they had to just walk a half a mile to get to the actual front door because the bus driver said the bus wouldn't make it up the driveway. But I believe the bus driver was just like, okay, I've had enough of these women. Get them out of the fucking bus. I think he hit a wall. That man hit a wall and was like, get this blow-up doll, Elvis-looking woman off my bus, and they can walk there. He didn't want to have to do it. So they get to the resort. Now, I'm loving this resort, and it looks really upscale. I know we had the bus ride moment where we're talking about the butt sex, and, you know, believe me, I love that. We're sex positive here, but again, it's just because we've heard it a million times. And, you know, I'm thinking that when we get to this beautiful, classy resort, things will turn around. Things will turn around. But instead, they decide to do some chicken shit game. Chicken shit bingo. What did they call it? Chicken shit bingo. I think that's what they called it. And they had a woman who came in with a chicken.
named Patsy Cline. Patsy fucking Cline. Patsy Cline is a queen and icon on election. She's been portrayed by Jessica Lange in movies. Beverly D'Angelo played her. Patsy Cline. She sang Crazy, Walking After Midnight. And here comes this chicken that's going by the name Patsy Cline, and that these women are cheering to shit on a number. And I'm thinking, oh my God, Patsy Cline did not work her whole life for these women on cable TV to be shouting at her to shit. I know it was a chicken, but they should have called it something else, because I was honestly, the way that we were disparaging Patsy Cline's name. I mean, justice for Patsy Cline, I don't know who thought this was an okay idea to just call the chicken Patsy Cline. Maybe if it was a chicken that wasn't, whose job it wasn't to shit all over a number. I mean, could we have not done that? And Dallas Housewives, the main critique that people have is that they talk too much about poop and everything. And here the women decide to do like a chicken shit. DeAndra even said in her confessional, she said, this is why people think of this Texas this way or whatever. Because she's like, we're playing a game where a chicken shits. That's it, you guys. What was happening there? Did we really need that, Bravo? I like that all of these Housewives franchises have their own flavor, but I just don't think that we need a chicken shit and bingo. We just don't need it. And to disparage Patsy Cline's name, like, that was the true crazy. That was the true crazy. Do you imagine in that Jessica Lange movie where she played Patsy Cline, if all of a sudden at the end, there was like a, you know how at the end of those biopics they put up on the screen, like, and then in 2020, this person died or whatever it is. What if they put up on the screen, then in 2021, a chicken on The Real Housewives of Dallas decided to play chicken shit bingo and the women cheered for her and it was called Patsy Cline. Like, what? That was like the update of the Patsy Cline movie. Anyway, I felt bad for Patsy Cline, that is. But these women, so DeAndra and Carrie obviously aren't getting along. Carrie and Cameron overhear DeAndra talking to Tiffany about the relationship. Now, Carrie had done this like shot cheers to Tiffany and had this sorry moment to Tiffany. Tiffany forgave her, but DeAndra didn't. So DeAndra sits down in the room and is telling Tiffany. Meanwhile, other two women are at the door listening to the whole conversation. So then when they all sit down for dinner after the chicken shit bingo, that's when DeAndra gets confronted by Carrie. Carrie's like, I heard you talking. And DeAndra's like, well, you were acting like a bully. And these white women on these shows, or these women on The Housewives in general, love to use the term bully. They love to talk about bullying. They like to say, you bullied me. This person bullied me. He bullied me. I'm thinking the real bullying is done to Patsy Cline in this episode. She was the one who was bullied by having a chicken shit bingo named after her. Okay, that's who was bullied. But they love to throw that word around. Bully, bully, bully. DeAndra said, though, look, you've been giving me a hard time about everything. And they showed a montage of Carrie being kind of an asshole to DeAndra. And I got to be honest, I'm on DeAndra's side here. And I was happy that DeAndra stuck up for herself and said, like, F you, and ran out of the table. And then that's when we had that crying moment that was great to watch. But you guys, it was a great episode all around. We had all the women together. I wasn't so concerned with the PPE situation this week because they were just at a resort with just them. So I felt like relaxed about that. We got some good group dynamics. We got some insanity. I thought it was all around a good episode. And they had that moment where they were like, I think it was DeAndra and Carrie fighting. We're like, that's a lie. That's a lie. And they were saying it over each other. They were both saying, that's a lie. That's a lie. That's a lie. I'm loving this season of Dallas. So it was not, I was honestly going into this season of Dallas thinking it was going to be a big pile of shit. I thought we had COVID. Tiffany, or what's her name? Not Tiffany. Leanne had driven most of the stories in the past season. So I thought, there's no way we could get a good season. And then here come these women and a chicken, and I'm getting a good season, despite the chicken, despite Patsy Cline, despite Patsy Cline. Anyway, you guys, that's The Real Housewives of Dallas. I'll be back on Sunday to recap Atlanta and Summer House. You guys, I'm having so much fun with Summer House. I'm happy we added that to the rotation. Again, get tickets to the Bitch Sesh Live show if you want to join that. It's Thursday, February 18th. So it's, you're listening to this when this episode comes out. It's tonight. So check that out. Also, if you want to support this podcast, go to the Patreon page. It's patreon.com/everythingiconic. And if you donate $4 more per month, you get access to the bonus episodes. Do one a month. And I'm recapping Sex and the City over there, which is fantastic. And I'm having so much fun with that as well. So you can also go to the Everything Iconic store, everythingiconic.store. Find me on social media at Danny Pellegrino on Twitter and Instagram. Guys, I love you so much for listening. Let's take a little deep breath in.
Hold it. Breathe out. Take another deep breath in. Hold it. Breathe out. Guys, thank you all so much for listening. Stay safe.